for today. We have a prophet in our midst. He brought it up earlier. Comes from the sixth chapter of Mark. And it's an interesting passage. Most people focus on the second half of this passage of Scripture because it's where Jesus sends the disciples out two by two and they don't take anything with them, you know, no purse, no extra clothes, no, you know. And they're supposed to rely on the goodness of the people that they meet, and everybody concentrates on that part of the Scripture, and they don't think of it in light of the first part of this Scripture. So I ask you to listen carefully to the first part of this passage and then hear the second part of the Scripture. Jesus left that place and he came to his hometown. His hometown is Nazareth, right? He's born in Bethlehem, but his hometown was actually Nazareth, where his daddy lived, Joseph lived, was a carpenter. And his disciples followed him. We got a bunch of people that came home for their reunion. And on the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many who heard him were astounded. That word in other translations, other versions of the Bible, is offended. Not just astounded, but offended. It is also uprooted, if you take the literal translation. Many who heard him were uprooted. The message says, and they couldn't believe it. And they said, where did this man get all this? What is this wisdom that has been given to him? Now remember, Jesus is only in his early 30s. What is this wisdom that has been given to him? What deeds of power are being done by his hands? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? This is one of the places where Jesus' brothers are actually mentioned. And are not his sisters, Jesus has sisters, here with us? And they took offense at him. That gets even more graphic in other translations. They were beyond offense. And they took offense at Jesus. And then Jesus says, prophets are not without honor except in their home town and among their own kin and in their own house. And he could do no deed of power there except that he laid hands on a few sick people and cured them. And he, Jesus, was amazed at their unbelief. Then he went about among other villages teaching. And he called the 12 and he began to send them out two by two. And he gave them authority over unclean spirits. He ordered them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. In other words, don't take any clean clothes with you. And he said to them, whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave the place, which sort of sounds like common sense, except what he's saying is, just stay there. Don't be running around to different places. Just stay there until you feel like your ministry's done. If any place will not welcome you and they refuse to hear you as you leave, shake off the dust that's on your feet as a testimony against them. So they went out and proclaimed that all should repent. They cast out many demons. They anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. Yeah. Now, I do want to go back to this shaking the dust off their feet as a testimony against them. Don't be too harsh with that. A good deal of that is Jesus just reminding the disciples, don't let them get to you. Just because they didn't receive your message, don't let them get to you. Shake the dust off of your sandals and go on. In other words, your job is to go preach the word, heal the sick who will receive you. And if they don't receive you, don't let it get to you. Just shake the dust off. Our job as Christians is to tell people about the love of Jesus Christ. If they don't take it, that's their problem. That's not your problem. Shake the dust off. And he says it's a testimony against them. In other words, that's their problem. That's not your problem. Don't stop testifying. Don't stop telling of the love of God just because somebody says that's baloney. Good, you want some cheese with it? Little mayo? I'll send it on the way out of town. Now, where did Jesus send the disciples? Do you remember the little passage that says Jesus went to other villages? Where do you suppose Jesus sent the disciples? I think he sent the disciples to his hometown. He couldn't get any work done in his hometown, so he sent his disciples to his hometown. You know, Jesus really does have a great sense of humor. Okay, you all won't listen to me? Fine, I'll send my disciples back. Sent out his disciples two by two. He said, stay as long as you're welcome. If they won't listen, go on somewhere else. Jesus is going to get the work done in his hometown one way or the other. If he can't get it done himself, he's going to send somebody else. Now, why can't he get any work done in his hometown? Why do you suppose that is? I'll bet this little group over here can tell us a little bit about that. I'll bet some of the folks here in this room can tell us a little something about that too. I can tell you a little something about that too. I graduated, I got the degrees, I was ordained, I was a full-fledged minister. I stood up in all my glory of 5'2" with my robe on, and my stole on, and my cross on, and I stood up before the Presbyterian Church in Washington, Missouri, because that was my home church. I was originally Presbyterian. And I was going to preach a sermon on Sunday morning. And I worked on that sermon, and I worked on that sermon, and I worked on that sermon for weeks and weeks and weeks. And theologically, Christologically, ideologically, politically, in every way you could think of, that was the best sermon in the world. And I got up in the pulpit, because at that time I didn't move around. I got up in the pulpit with my manuscript, and I preached that sermon to my hometown people. Do we need to believe in Jesus Christ? And I have to tell you, I did a really good job. I did. I didn't stumble over my words. I did better than I did today when I stopped, you know, was not letting Jamie read the scripture. And, you know, I did a really good job. And you know what everybody said after church? You look just like your mama. Jones with curly hair. Oh, you know, she had a beautiful voice. Ah! Maybe if I sang it. Do you think that would have worked if I'd sung the sermon? Little Patty Jones came home. She looks just like her mother. I had prophetic words for them. See, I could see the church. After I'd been to seminary, you know, and I learned all this, I had lots of things to tell them about how they needed to grow and learn, and they were a wonderful congregation, and I loved them dearly, but there were things that they needed to change. Nobody wants to hear that they need to change. And especially when you're in your own hometown. And little Patty Jones gets up and starts talking. I have enough trouble with this group. And I've only been here not even 2 years yet. And every time I say something about, you know, really, we need to think differently, somebody gets mad at me. I have a prophetic word for you. And the heads go down. All of a sudden, the hymn book gets really interesting. I like to have it looked at the hymn book before, but it gets really interesting. Jesus understood this, but that didn't mean Jesus stopped preaching, and it didn't mean that Jesus stopped being a prophet. What did he teach the disciples? You go ahead and you do it anyway. And if they won't listen, then go on. Now, don't anybody get worried. I'm not leaving or anything. I just go to another little group. Like, see, today I'm talking to this group right here. Because part of them have never heard me before. Yeah, see? So it's good, because I can talk to you, and you haven't heard me, and it's great, and we can, you know. And you're leaving, and so you don't care. You're going to Florida. You don't care. It's great. I can just, you know, I can say my prophetic word, and you, but. No. Some people can hear one kind of prophetic word here, and some people can hear another kind of prophetic word. Jesus understood that. He teaches his disciples. He teaches us that. We need to be able to do that with each other. Right? We need to be able to do that with each other. So, hometown preaching. I love this. Welcome Nazareth, the hometown welcome. I love that. That's great. We just should say, you know, Carrollton. This is wonderful. But we still have to keep our listening ears on as a congregation. And I still need to keep the prophetic voice going. And sometimes when I'm preaching and you don't want to listen, I have to just wipe the sands off and say, okay, you didn't want to hear that. I understand. I'll be back next week. We'll talk again. And I won't say that again for a while until you think you can hear it. And you'll still love me, and I'll still love you, just like Jesus still loved the people, and they still loved him. And maybe I'll send somebody else in to say it. With the disciples. Let us pray. Almighty God, you are so smart. You teach us in so many different ways. Sometimes your teachings are funny, and sometimes they're serious, and sometimes they're so gut-wrenching, and sometimes they tug at our hearts, and sometimes you're a little sly. And we love you so much because you know us humans so well that you know you've got to use different ways to teach us. In the end, Lord, we want to live for you. We want to live your way. We want to be faithful to you. Help us, Lord. Amen. Our hymn of invitation is Living for Jesus, number 610. As we stand to sing, I hope you make that internal decision that you are living for Jesus and you're going to live better and better each day for Jesus. Let us stand and sing.